B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Yes, Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are here. No fill-ins for this show today. It's only because, like, I was around. That's true. When Jim Louth, assistant program director, asked, like, hey, what about the 27th? I was like, trying to fire up the excuse generator. And I was like, nah, I got nothing. I'm around. Sure. I know Chris is around, too. Let's do it. Yeah. We're professionals, damn it.
Yeah, and I need the money.
So, further proof that you can congratulate the Patriots on their 6-game winning streak. I just missed this in the headlines because it just came over from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network.
Oh.
Not only is A.J. Brown the better of the two stud wide receivers. Well, Julio Jones is washed up. So he is the best wide receiver on the Tennessee Titans. He's not playing tomorrow with the chest injury. The Titans just placed him on injured reserve. So now he's out at least 3 games.
Wow.
And so, yes, this game tomorrow over. Congratulations not only for the Patriots and their 6th straight win, but also for locking up the 1 seed in the AFC. Everything hilariously is falling their way. Week in, week out, game after game, injury after injury. Tre'Davious White, Thursday night, Bills, Saints. Uh-oh, there goes the knee. He's done. They have yet to even play one of their 2 games remaining on the schedule. It's crazy, Chris, that this keeps falling their way. Like, all of these kind of things that have really nothing to do with them. It's everyone else just, like, you know, getting in their own way.
Would you say it's, you know, the way things are going, the breaks they're catching, would you say it's a little 2001-ish?
Nope.
Okay,
no.
Just checking.
That one, I put up the brick wall and then put barbed wire on that wall, and I have guards ready to shoot at a moment's notice.
Oh, so you're defending the wall?
Yes, that wall, the 2001 wall.
Yeah, you're defending the
wall. Because mostly that argument
is... Patriots fans can appreciate that.
That is coming from people that weren't even, you know, they were 4 years old at that time. You know, again, you drafted this quarterback in the first round. Your franchise quarterback, Drew Bledsoe, got his chest caved and nearly died. That gave way to a 6th-round pick that no one had heard of.
Well, that was
took
a break.
Over the team.
That was a break.
Yeah.
It was an injury break, just like this year.
Yeah, but that was an internal one. These outward ones, they have nothing to do with you. You know what? No, I'm just going to stop there.
Okay.
If you're a rational, normal person, you know that this has no parallels to 2001. None. How many Hall of Famers were on that team? Let's just remove the quarterback equation,
sure.
too.
Yeah.
Let's remove the Brady aspect, okay?
Uh-huh.
And just from the defensive side of the ball, how many Hall of Famers, how many team Hall of Famers were on that effing team? And is J.C. Jackson, Ty Law? Do you want to make that argument? You should be thrown down a well if you believe that. So you can miss me with the 2001 comparisons.
No, well,
just enjoy it for what it is, you idiots.
What, like, if the comparison is that both unlikely Super Bowl seasons? Super Bowl
it's
title
week
seasons.
12. If you want to make it post Super Bowl, if they win the Super Bowl, fine. I'll entertain it. I won't. But I'll at least be a little more willing to listen then.
Oh, some more good news for the Patriots. Veteran wide receiver Golden Tate was not elevated to the Titans' active roster. He will not be among the game day elevations, so he won't be eligible to play on Sunday.
Oh, all right. So, again, what's that? Let me pull this up. So, what wide receivers are we going to see that bum Ryan Tannehill
Des
throwing?
Des Fitzpatrick, who played at Louisville, who scored a touchdown last week.
Uh-huh. Let's see who else here. Hold on. Let's see. Yes, it's Des Fitzpatrick, mm-hmm. Chester Rogers.
Oh, Chester Rogers,
and
yes.
Nick Westbrook. Akina.
I think it was Akina. Right, I think.
So they won't have Golden Tate, the washed-up Golden Tate that they just picked off the trash heap, so he's not eligible. And Ryan Tannehill, who on his best day, to me, is off-brand Matt Ryan. That is that collection is going up against a defense that will have, again, had 10, 11 days rest, and they haven't allowed a single point in their past 7 quarters.
But on the good news side for the Titans, they've activated fullback Kari Blossengame from IR. So, yes.
Well, good luck tomorrow, Titans. This is not going to be a game. This is going to be a repeat of the Falcons' performance, I believe. And everything just keeps coming up the path, which, again, if blow away, enjoy it, you should, after a down year last year. It does feel like they are on the fast track to a deep playoff run. I still think, what's their fatal flaw? Because everyone's got a fatal flaw, especially in the down AFC, Chris. Mm. I think it's the quarterback. I think there's a massive unknown with Mac Jones. Everyone wants to crown him, say he's Brady 2.0. Yeah, he's just
baby
like Brady.
Baby Brady. You've gone from Brady gravy to baby Brady.
How about let's see him fully win you a game? Like, that's the unknown. That's what we don't know. By this point, we had at least had one of those with the 2001 Patriots and Tom Brady, that San Diego overtime game here. Remember it well, where Brady is winning you the game. Mac Jones, again, playing within himself. I've heard the term sidecar used. Like, I would agree with that for the most part. Good. But I think there was a massive unknown with this kid as to whether or not, like, you're down six with two and change remaining, fourth quarter, and you got to move down the field. You got, you know, one timeout, no timeouts left. Can this kid air it out and win you that game? I don't know. I don't know. That's the unknown with this team. That could potentially be their fatal flaw.
Or also, like, you know, what happens if you get behind by, like, you know, three touchdowns? Can you, or you know, maybe not three touchdowns, 17 points early. You know, can he lead you back when maybe the offense is a little less balanced?
Yeah. Gun to my head? No.
I mean, it's kind of hard because
but
he hasn't had the chance, you know? Yeah. So it's hard to say yes or no because it's not like he's had the opportunity. And look, when somebody leads three 90-yard drives, you have to say that they certainly have the capability to do it. I mean, here we are. It's bizarro, you know, world, because here I am defending Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones has been, I'll say it again, he's been much better than I expected him to be this year. Where I'm not budging is on the ultimate ceiling. I still don't think the ultimate ceiling is a Brady Rodgers type of quarterback.
Not me either.
You know, that's where I'm not budging. But has he been better than I thought? Absolutely. However, I would say, now I'll jump to your side of the street, the team is functioning exactly the way it was built to function, which is to not rely on the quarterback to elevate the team, but to rely on the rest of the team to elevate the quarterback, i.e., the quarterback is not the centerpiece of the team. He's a supporting piece for the team. That is how the team is functioning. That's how the team was built to function, regardless of who the quarterback was. Cam Newton, Brian Hoyer, rookie Mac Jones. So that's the team. It's going all to plan for Belichick in terms of, this is why I spent, you know, $165 million or $175, whatever it was, in the offseason to build up the team, because we weren't going to win just on the quarterback.
Yeah, and so, like, the Bills show you anything, too? Because, hey, look, this is their tough stretch that starts tomorrow. It certainly would have been, I think, more of a competitive game, and who knows what's going to happen, but I feel like it's already over. But if they had Derrick Henry, if they had their wide receivers, you know, this would be more of a true test for the Patriots tomorrow. But the Bills show you anything after their bounce-back game Thursday night against the
Saints?
Yeah,
I mean, I think that offense can be explosive, and they have, you know, one of the things I think about with Belichick defenses a lot of times is, tell me who your third pass catcher is, because that guy's going to need to come up big. Or tell me who your top three pass catcher. Like, he's not going to let the primary guy beat you. So if you're the Bills, it's like, Stephon Diggs isn't going to beat you, but is there still someone there who could beat you? Yeah, Dawson Knox.
Emmanuel Sanders. He's turned out to be pretty good.
He has. Gabriel Davis. So they have enough. It's sort of like when Dallas came in here, it's like, well, Amari Cooper's not going to beat you, and we're going to lock down Dalton Schultz. Oh, who beat you? CeeDee Lamb. It's one of those things. So tell me who your ancillary pieces are. And I do think, at least on paper, the Bills have enough of those pieces. And I didn't even mention Cole Beasley. You know, so maybe it's a Cole Beasley or Emmanuel Sanders or Gabriel Davis or Dawson Knox that has to beat you. Do they have those guys that can beat a Belichick defense when it's not just the guy? They do.
Let's go to Brian in Braintree. You're next here on Gaspar Murray this afternoon. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. I've been hanging on for quite a while. Love listening to you. My question is not really a question. It's really a comment, Jim. I love your impersonations. I'd like to hear more of them on Felger and Mads. However, I was watching Jerry Jones up in the box crying his eyes out the other night, and all I could think of is you doing an impersonation of him, reaching in for his champagne, his cocaine, and his horse.
Well, thanks, Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
dance for the people.
That's all right. We're getting screwed by these referees in this GD game against these godforsaken Raiders. Where are they now? Vegas? Oh, let me tell you about my last time to Vegas. I flew in. I brought as much of my cocaine and brown liquor as I could bring onto the plane, and then I brought that all over to the Crazy Horse, too. Chris, you ever been to the Crazy Horse?
I have not been to the Crazy Horse, Jerry.
I tell you what, you fly in, you roll deep with old Jerry going to the Crazy Horse, and then we meet up all with them Crazy Horse that they got at the Crazy Horse. And that's about as much as I can say.
Because management really doesn't like when I do that bit all that much, as it turns out.
Is that true?
We'll just leave it there.
Is it?
It's a certain word that gets used, but if you can't use that word as Jerry Jones, you see, like, it's like what a pig vomit said in Private Parts. It's I'm just as characters.
Oh, you know,
Jim
interesting.
Jim's just doing characters. It's not me. I don't mean anything by it, but, you know, these are increasingly sensitive and stupid times we're living in.
So I have a question. Have you thought about trying to come up with another word?
No, because I refuse to play along that way.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. I understand.
Because let me see. You tell me, Chris, is this as funny?
Yeah, we went into, you know who I brought up into my luxury box last night? These sex workers who need to be respected.
It loses it. Yeah.
Well, what if you used, like, could you use, were you allowed to say gold diggers?
That might be offensive, too, because they have just as much a right to the money, do these professional sex workers. And that sounds fun. Yeah, we lost the game, but let's all enjoy ourselves now with the respected sex workers that I've brought in to hang with you and the rest of my family. We'll bring up Tony Romo, too, who sounded like he was absolutely blotto during that game.
He really did.
Did you happen to hear, by the way, when my Cowboys were down at their own 4-yard line, and it was 4th and 4, and that drunk moron said that they should go for it? Maybe he needs some time with a sex worker. That's right.
It's just not as fun.
It's not as fun. But I'm saying, but why does it have to be, you know, I don't want to get too into this, but
that's the bit.
But why does it have to be professional sets? Where it could be like Sugar Babies or what, you know, people that want to roll deep with old Jera.
Yeah, I think those people would get offended by that term too.
Really?
Well,
okay.
With that, we'll push that to the side. Did you hear Romo, by the way, in that game? Like, he is, talk about a guy that's cashed in, Chris. I actually liked his commentary, his color commentary on these games of CBS, but you can now hear the frustration with Jim Nantz.
With his lack of preparation.
Yeah. That,
like, he asked a question to Nantz that it's like, well, if you just looked at the game notes, you know the answer.
Right.
Tony.
He's calling guys by the wrong names. He's calling guys by their numbers, so he, like, doesn't even want to look up the names of certain players. But that was like the piece de resistance there, where it was like their own 5-yard line. This was in overtime. And I don't know, Jim, they should go for it here. I think, like, what? Nantz must have been like, I just would have loved it so much. You idiot. They're at their own 5. It's 4th and 4. You want them to go for it? You drunk? What are you watching? And he just gets amped up for no reason. Boy, what happened to him? You just got paid and you just stopped giving a rat's ass?
He did get the big contract. I don't know. I mean, I hate to speculate, but, you know, he had a lot of injuries in his career, and maybe...
So now they're just catching up with him?
Yeah, so maybe some of that injury management is an issue. Skechers alone won't ward off back pain, as you know.
Yeah, and what's the corona, too? Yeah, you're still going to feel the pain. But, boy, he is not good at his job anymore. All right, well, let's move on. We'll continue to take some calls. How about you on the Patriots? You want to make the 2001 comparison? Have at it. I will turn my brain power off. If you want to try to make that comparison, maybe Chris will entertain it. Tell you what, we got a while to go here before we wrap up and we get to 5 questions with Chris Gass. We've got nothing to do with sports. Join us, won't you? 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Gasper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the sports hub. This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the sports hub.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the sports hub. And now... Because of my childish behavior, who is this tweet from? Now I just want to do this the rest of the show. This was from Maddie Montequila, who tweeted in to say that politically correct Jerry Jones is at Big Jim Murray's best impression to date.
That's great.
Let me call up on the hotline here. I don't know how you people can can enjoy Thanksgiving when you're eating your food on stolen land, you sons of bitches, you white devils. And you can't call them what I used to call them. If you want to have some entertainment, we're going to bring in some tarts. And I'm not talking about dessert. You hear me? Lady of the night, a madam, a sex worker. We can't call them what I used to call them. You understand. These are increasingly different times we're living in. I have to clean up my act. Got to be more politically correct, you see. It's politically correct, Jerry Jones.
All right. All right, we'll move on.
No, Chris, that was great. I was waiting for you to say something about the Washington football team. He was responsible for them dropping the name.
I had to call up down in D.C. and tell him to change that name. No one could call them what we used to call them. They were a division rifle. Now we can call them the Red Tails. They want to, Red Devil. We can't call them what we used to call them because that is offensive. And that is why I told him to change the name to just Washington football team. Very generic. Same colors, different name. But don't you dare call them what they used to call them. Nope, because everyone's going to get mad and offended.
Chris, you brought up some stats about Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
That I want to now counter. You said that he's got a just under 500 record against the
5-7
New England Patriots. Yeah, and which was surprising because I thought it was worse. And you know why I thought it was worse?
Why?
Because I looked up his numbers at Gillette Stadium.
Oh, boy.
In seven games. You want to know what the record is?
Yes.
1-6.
Oh, boy. And it was the one playoff game where he threw the ball 15 times, right?
That is correct. The only win was the wild card game, Brady's last game in a Patriot uniform in 2019, the 20-13 win for Tennessee, where, as you mentioned, he went 8-15 for 72 yards with a touchdown and a pick, which he is usually good for. The totals in these seven games for Ryan Tannehill, 6 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. That is one or more interception in every single game. 2 interceptions in 4 games, and has been sacked 25 times. This is your quarterback for the opposition tomorrow. This is why.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just thinking of the scene in Black Panther where it's like, is this your king?
Yeah.
Is this your king?
Is this your quarterback?
Is this your quarterback? Is this your quarterback?
This is what you got tomorrow against this defense, which I think might be a hint overrated. I don't think they're the 2019 boogeymen, which was fool's gold, which... that ended up catching up with them in the last month of the season, last month, month and a half. But, with this wretched receiving core, no real tight end, certainly no running game with no Derrick Henry, this is what you're going to get tomorrow? And they're going to have to put the ball in his hands. They're going to kill this team, Chris.
I mean, they should on paper, unless he has one of those bizarro Tannehill games where he just, lights it up. But, wow, those are great stats at Gillette. Jeez, that's awful. That's truly awful. Do you have the game by game?
I don't have the game by game. Let me find a little. Hold on. Let me pull up some of this stuff again here.
Because I'm just curious. Have any of those? Actually, I might be able to find it. But have any of those games? Oh, here I have all these. His games at New England. So I'm just looking here. Is there a 300 yard passing?
Yes.
Game?
There's three game. There's actually three games where he's thrown over 300 yards. Two games with 100 yards or so. But, yeah, I mean, these numbers aren't good at Gillette. The average per game, he's putting up 233 yards, less than a touchdown, close to 2 picks, getting sacked close to 4 times a game. They're going to feast on this guy tomorrow.
Yeah, and even within the context of looking at the Titans season to this point, we've barely mentioned this, but they're their number one seed in the AFC. It just doesn't feel like it, given the fact they've been decimated by injuries. But even taking that into account, it's not because of his play. Now, I know he had the 4 interception game, and that can inflate things a little bit. But the sack numbers, he's taken the most sacks of any quarterback in the NFL. And so when you're the guy that's taken the most sacks and the guy that's thrown the most picks, it's pretty clear that 8-3 record is not because of the quarterback.
Yeah. So if they were to pull off an upset tomorrow, I think it's... it's ball control and field position and hope that Mac Jones makes a mistake.
And maybe they have a trick play or two up their sleeve, like a fake punt or, one of those things that would drive Bill nuts if they actually were able to successfully execute it against the Patriots.
Do you, because this has come up, obviously, and it's come up before, do you consider Mike Vrabel part of the Bill Belichick coaching tree? Because I don't. I think as a player, it's completely different. And when it comes to coaching, I think you would have had to have been an underling in terms of coaching under Belichick. You're Bill O'Brien. You're Brian Flores. You know the names. And you're just doing this to discredit it. No, I'm really not. I just think it's completely different. Vrabel came up in the coaching ranks with Ohio State, his alma mater. That's where his coaching
tree
is.
I do consider him part of the tree.
You do.
Yeah, because I look at it and I say, he had to have been influenced by some of the time he spent here with Bill Belichick. And Vrabel was one of the smartest, most cerebral players from that era of success. And he was also somebody that would challenge Belichick from time to time on what the strategy was or what he was being told. Or he would sort of bust his chops about, oh, well, you're going to show us more Lawrence Taylor film again? Or, oh, you coached the Giants? I didn't know that. You know, you were the defensive coordinator for the Giants and stuff like that. So I do think some of that had to rub off. And also, you know, the time he spent in Houston was with a Belichick disciple. So I count him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I know, I can tell. I can tell you that.
And I won't either. Yeah, that's another one I'm dug in on. All right, we'll get in some of your calls, mix in some of your calls. Oh, Chris, look up. Florida State, Florida tied 7-all.
Oh, yeah, that happened a little while ago.
All right. Yeah. And I think Florida just threw another pick. Yeah, how about that for a touchback?
Oh, in the end zone. That's fantastic.
Yeah, now Chris is really going to be feeling old FSU.
Jarvis Brownlee the third. Nice pick. That's
all right,
great.
Mix in some of your calls and touch on something else Patriots related, and that is Rodney Harrison getting boned when it comes to his eligibility for the Hall of Fame. That's coming up next here on Gasper and Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Chris Gasper and Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. So, it's been a minute since you and I have done a show together, Chris, and earlier this week, the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton announced their semifinalists for the 2022 class. A couple of former Patriots making the cut. That'd be Richard Seymour and Vince Wilfork. Both were among the 26 players selected. Seymour finalist for this year's class, but wasn't part of the final group. Wilfork, this is a semifinalist. He is a semifinalist for the first time. Some bias here, obviously, but I think they both should be in. But the step back was Rodney Harrison. He was a semifinalist last year. He snubbed this time around. Is this anti-Patriot bias? Is this, you know, the people holding this against Rodney Harrison that he was maybe a dirty player? Well, kind of was. You know, stepped over that line, habitual line stepper in the early 2000s. It was one of my favorite things about him. You can't teach mean. Some PED issues. What is it? Why do you think that, you know, that this is held against him? Because he took a step back is kind of mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I do think it is a little shocking that he took that step back. Especially because a lot of times that happens to guys who are not sort of in the limelight. And he has been in the limelight for a couple of years now with NBC Sports. So you would think that would actually help his candidacy.
Right.
I do think it has something to do, obviously, with the idea that he was a highly penalized player and that he played, you know, was a borderline player and sometimes would cross the line. But the biggest thing I think is that he played for the San Diego Chargers. And so much of what he did in his career, where he built up these statistics and these accomplishments, I know he was obviously great here with the Patriots, but a lot of the career numbers he built up were with the Chargers. And I just think the fact that's a West Coast team, they were kind of a blasé team, I think that it sort of got lost. And so people don't fully appreciate it. And they look at his time with the Patriots and say, well, that wasn't long enough, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, you look at some of his stats. He's one of just two players in league history with 30 sacks and 30-plus interceptions.
Is the other one Charles Woodson?
No, the other one's Ray Lewis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Jeez. You know, so, like, he's in that kind of...
So he's the only defensive back to do it.
Yes. Yeah. A couple of Pro Bowl nods, 98-2001. First team All-Pro in 98 and 2003. I mean, he's one of the best safeties of that era. And just, like, for comparison's sake, like, you know, him or John Lynch... You know, like, I take Rodney Harrison all day long.
Yeah, I would take Rodney Harrison as well.
And I know Lynch was a thumper and whatnot and pretty good in coverage, but, like, I don't know. Like, again, it was that mean streak to Rodney Harrison. Like, he made you pay if you went over the middle.
Absolutely.
And you know, was a threat to, you know, get into the backfield, sack the quarterback, obviously, with some of those
very
numbers.
Underrated coverage player as well. I mean, they would feel, I'll never forget.
Tone setter type.
2007 against Indy, all the talk leading up was, this is why they got Adalys Thomas. Adalys Thomas is going to cover Dallas Clark. They dropped Rodney Harrison down and played him at linebacker, and he covered Dallas Clark and did a fantastic job. And the stuff that you see, like, you know, Adrian Phillips do now and a little bit of Kyle Duggar, all that stuff, I mean, that stuff was really sort of pioneered by Rodney Harrison, because Rodney Harrison was even a different player and I think a better player than Lawyer Malloy.
All right, but turning back to tomorrow's game and the rest of the path, I don't think you like this is the talk of path talk is silly. Like, this team's going to the playoffs.
Well, it's the path to the number one seed now, Jim.
Yeah, it's now the path to the number one seed. And it's funny, too, after the Dallas game, you know, I was the one that came in, the rational head on Felger Mass, and said, you know, like, they're not done yet, guys. Like, they can still, there was a path then. I didn't think it would turn out to be this, you know, 5-game winning streak and. I thought that they would be in the mix. But at the very least, even if they were faltered a little bit here, if they were to split with Buffalo, Chris, I think with what's happened in this last month or so over the Pats is they've certainly separated themselves from the likes of these other AFC middlers that are in the mix, your Browns, your Chargers, Vegas with this win against Dallas the other day, I guess is still, you know, they're in the hunt. Like those teams. Like they're better than those teams.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think they have separated themselves a little bit. So I feel like we keep sort of moving this is the game that the Patriots will prove it. You know, obviously, I think a lot of people felt it was this game. This was one I had circled for a while. And now I don't quite feel the same way because of how decimated right. Tennessee is. And then it's the Bills, but now there's no, like, you know, Tre'Davious White. So now I might move it to that Colts game, depending on who is still healthy. Because I really, the Colts put it on Buffalo. In Buffalo's backyard, I don't know how many people have been paying attention to what Carson Wentz has done this year, but he's playing pretty well when you look at it. I think it's 18 touchdowns and 3 interceptions for him on the season. It is. And Jonathan Taylor's probably the NFL MVP at this point.
He's a freak.
Their defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, is the guy that Josh McDaniels basically had hired when he was going to take that job.
Yeah.
And he ended up staying anyway. He's doing a very good job. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see where the Colts are at that point. But I think that game on the road, if the Colts are still healthy, that could be maybe the toughest game remaining for the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm no Carson Wentz guy. I know those interception numbers are low, and they've managed him very well there. And he's certainly better back with Frank Reich.
Yeah, who it turns out was the real brains behind that.
Yeah,
Philadelphia
that
operation.
Eagles Super Bowl. Yeah. Yeah, no. Like it will now be, I think, a disappointment if the Patriots aren't at least hosting a home game in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we're in the 14-team playoff format, so only one team gets a bye, and that's the number one seed. But I would agree with you. I think they're now the favorites to win the division and to be in a position to host one of those games that opening weekend.
Who do you like? Like I feel like the 17-game schedule it's been so topsy-turvy this year. It's been a weird. Is anyone good, Chris? Like, do you look at any team and be like, oh yeah, no, that they're the prohibitive favorite?
No, in the AFC, NFC, or just overall
the league.
No, I mean,
me
I like,
either.
I like what the Cardinals have done, but if the Cardinals lost like 4 in a row, I wouldn't be shocked. You know,
if they're the one seed, they lose their first playoff game. You're going to be stunned.
No,
I won't be.
I won't be. I'll tell you, I do think Green Bay is pretty legit, and that was a tough loss they had. To Minnesota, obviously, you know, Kirk Cousins outdueled Aaron Rodgers. He did in that game.
You know, he has 2 picks.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Again, I still don't understand why people, again, I'm going to say, you know, because this person said my name on another station, so I'll say their name. Tom Curran is seen as this great promoter of Mac Jones. He says his ceiling is Chad Pennington. I'm seen as this guy who hates Mac Jones. I say Mac Jones' ceiling is Kirk Cousins. And it's like, I'm the bad guy. Like, even the people that are beating the drum for Mac Jones are like, well, you know, he could be Chad Pennington. Really? Like, that's like some great compliment that he could be Chad Pennington? Let me give you a few stats for Kirk Cousins.
He's had a sneaky good year.
He has 25 career games with at least 300 yards passing and 3 touchdown passes, surpassing Aaron Rodgers for the second most such game by a quarterback in his first 10 seasons in NFL history. The only person with more, Dan Marino. And look, I know the game has changed. I get it. I understand that. But I think he's a lot better than a lot of folks think he is. And Mac Jones completing, you know, 80% of his passes. Everybody's like, oh, that's amazing. That's unbelievable. The NFL record for most 80% completion games in a season is 4, held by Drew Brees in 2018 and Kirk Cousins in 2019. I did not just pull this comparison out of my ass. I think it's a legitimate comparison, and Kirk Cousins is much better than you people think. You've just had the luxury of turning your nose up at that type of quarterback for all these years because you had the best quarterback and you had the best coach. How do you think Kirk Cousins would be with Bill Belichick?
No, he'd be good.
Why do you think Kyle Shanahan, who took Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl, still pines after Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, no, he feels like he could get the most out of him.
He thinks Kirk Cousins is better than Jimmy Garoppolo and would give him a better chance to win. Kirk Cousins is not a Brady, Breeze, Rodgers quarterback, despite those numbers I read. But he's pretty damn good.
So, yeah, Garoppolo, too, has had a good month. And that's a team, too. So, again, while I don't think anyone is, like, a prohibitive favorite, I don't look at, like, Green Bay's, you know, really banged up. So, I get it. Like, they looked like, you know, the class of the league up until a couple of weeks ago. But, like, now, I don't know. But that Niners team, Chris, they're going to throw a wrench in someone's season.
Yeah.
They're going to screw up seeding. They're going to do something. They own the Rams, too,
that's
by the way,
point.
Over recent years. And still, they have another game remaining against
them. So, the Niners are your Colts, basically.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is if you're you think the Colts are the wrench.
I do.
You know, the old turd in the punch bowl in the AFC. That's what I think of the Niners, because right now they're a 7 seed. They have the Vikings tomorrow.
Yeah.
So maybe they can increase they're going to screw it up for someone.
I can totally see that. That's such a tough division, that AFC West, man.
NFC West, you mean?
I'm sorry, NFC West. Yes, yeah. You're right. Although the AFC West is tough as well.
Yeah.
They're both. I mean, both those divisions are difficult divisions. So, yeah, that's such a difficult division, and you just wonder if they all sort of beat up on each other, and maybe Green Bay gets... The reason I like Green Bay at this point is because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the best element of that team, despite what Kirk Cousins did against them last week. I think that defense is pretty legit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. John and Methuen on the Rodney Harrison conversation. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I may be a biased 30-year-old Patriots fan, but... Rodney Harrison is the second best safety I've ever seen. The only one I'd ever consider taking over him is Ed Reed. And I don't know how he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer when he first got eligible.
Yeah, from that era, John, I'm not going to argue that. I think they hold it against him that, again, he was looked at as a dirty player by his peers. And there was this PED thing. And... You know, the other thing, too, Chris, is that he's just not apologetic. He doesn't apologize.
No, he doesn't apologize for it.
I think if he fell on the sword and said, well, it was a different era. If he did, you know, I think if he played to the heartstrings of some of these people that, you know, make these decisions, then, yeah, they would acquiesce and have him be a semifinalist again, and you'd eventually see him in the Hall of Fame. But, no, Rodney is unabashedly Rodney, which is one of the things I love about him.
How much do you think the PED thing plays into it?
Honestly, I think it's not as much as the dirty player thing.
That would make sense. I'm just curious because obviously in baseball, that's a big deal. I feel like in football, it's kind of like wink,
it's
wink.
Of course.
I mean, you know,
these guys can't play without them.
I mean, Terrell Davis and the adult braces. Like, yeah. Come on.
Right.
He had like a different face and forehead a couple years into his career.
Like, Ken Griffey in The Simpsons when he, right? Is that
what Gigantism or whatever he gets?
He drinks the tonic.
Yeah. That is one of the best episodes. Hey, sexy boy. Like Steve Sax.
Chris in Boston on Mac Jones. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Go ahead, Chris.
When we talk about Mac Jones' ceiling, it feels like we're limiting it to Mac Jones' physical traits and his tools he has. But he's a rookie and he's playing so well. And over the course of 20 years, there's no reason he can't, say, win 3 Super Bowls. It's about making big plays and big moments and winning big games. And it's like, so far, Mac Jones has shown he at least has potential to do that. So when we talk about his ceiling, like, why can't it be way higher than Kirk Cousins? Why can't it be more than Aaron Rodgers? It's like, I'm not crazy to say that. He's a rookie and he's playing well. So why are we limiting his ceiling?
I'll give you the answer. Because he already came in at a very high level. He was the most NFL-ready guy. So I feel like people don't take that into account, that he came in advanced. So you're looking at what he's doing here and saying, well, he's going to grow at the same level. He's going to improve at that same level. And that might not be the case because he's already coming in super advanced to begin with, having played at Alabama.
Sure, but why can't his ceiling be better than Rodgers? Why can't his ceiling be better than Aaron Rodgers?
Because he doesn't have the same physical tools as Aaron Rodgers.
But it's not about winning Super Bowls. Isn't about having these quote-unquote physical tools. Look at Tom Brady. If you his rookie season, you would have said he has this small ceiling. But like, it's not about that. It's about making big plays.
But are you just judging a quarterback's success solely on winning Super Bowls or on what their performance is and what their what their role in winning those Super Bowls is? For example, you know, look, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Their role in winning those Super Bowls is very different from Aaron Rodgers' role or from Tom Brady's role in most of his Super Bowls. So, yes, you can win Super Bowls, but it depends. What is your role in winning those Super Bowls?
Okay. Well, I think he could totally play like a Tom Brady role.
Okay,
like,
well,
I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but...
Well, you just did.
You just did.
You said over 20 years he could do that, and you said he could play a Tom Brady role. You just did. That... folks, is the quintessential Patriot fan. I don't like your Kirk Cousins ceiling. I think he could be better. I was just going to compliment him for at least having the balls to say, I think he could be Tom Brady. And then at the end he goes, but I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady.
I didn't like the tone there either. You know,
no,
you
the
and
tone
I,
was fine. Eh. But that's what drives me nuts. If you think he's going to be Tom Brady, just own it, people. O-W-N, own it. That's fine. If you think I'm wrong and you think he's going to be Brady Breeze Rogers, I applaud you. Say it. But don't say he's going to be better than Kirk Cousins. He's going to win this many Super Bowls. I think he could play a Tom Brady role and then say, but I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, because you really are.
Yeah, yeah. And you and I get accused of, a tonality issue. I didn't like his tone either. Like, I don't like how you're talking about Mac Jones.
I didn't think there was
a tone.
I mean,
fine, I'll come out and say it. I just think
I liked 98% of his call. I thought his call was great right up until the end when he backpedaled for no reason. He should have just owned it.
All right, well, the hell with this. Let's get to five questions for Chris Gasbury. Nothing to do with sports, shall we?
Chris Gasbury of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
Yep. Yeah, the old intro. Chris Gasper of The Globe.
That's right.
That's right.
Back can't go the, home again.
Back with the Boston Globe. You can catch his column. This is his return column this Monday on the Patriots' sixth straight win.
I hope this goes better than Cam Newton's return.
Of course it will. Carolina. All right, question number one. This stems from a conversation I had with a friend who's in town last night. My friend Keith, who you've met before.
Yeah.
Chris, do you rank your friends? My friend Keith held court last night, and he was like seven beers deep. And then he was ranking the performance of friends from the prior weekend. This is a near 50-year-old man who ranked 1 to 10, like the performance of us, his friends. You ever do this? Like, especially as like a grown-ass man?
No.
So would you say this is the behavior of a lunatic?
Yeah, I would say this is not the greatest behavior for your friends. No, I wouldn't do it. I mean, I guess it's a little bit like admitting who your favorite kid is, right?
Yeah, it's frankly insulting. Like, you know, because I didn't rank. Well, no, the wife and I, we were a team. The Murrays ranked fourth, but we weren't number one, which is like, okay, I thought we had a good performance last weekend, but nope.
Is he ranking fourth overall or just the performance for
this? The performance based on the weekend. No.
Okay, that's different. That's not bad. That's actually kind of funny. I don't have a problem with that. You're just talking about this particular time we're hanging out.
Yes, but I bet it wouldn't take much. Get a few drinks in him. Yes, no, he would rank us just in his life, which I don't think is a good look.
Interesting.
Question number two, would you rather a bitter cold winter, Chris, or tons of snow?
Bitter cold. The snow is just a pain, just a complete pain. I don't like shoveling it. It feels just like Groundhog Day when you have to shovel it time after time to get out. The cold, I don't like the cold either, but you know what? You just bundle up and deal with it, and you'll be inside soon enough. The snow is a pain. And the way people drive in the snow, the whole thing.
There's nothing. There's no redeeming qualities about the snow. What about snowmobiling or winter sports? That's for you people. Go up north and do that. Go to the mountains. We don't need that here. Chris, what is something that, besides parking, because I know that's your number one. I've known you long enough. But what is something besides parking that you resent having to pay for?
Oh, that's a great question. Parking is definitely number one. Nothing's coming to me off the top of my head. I resent having to pay for. I mean, there's so many things because I'm actually kind of cheap. I'll tell you, I do resent a little bit. The electric bill has been a little high recently.
Oh, yeah.
Cable, which I don't have anymore. But I do resent, I definitely resent dealing with the cable company, the way they treat you. The fact that there's like no sort of negotiation there, that even just for the straight up internet. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of having to pay that bill all the time. And just the way they treat you. Yeah, I got a cable electric bill that I don't like paying that stuff.
For me, it's like, you know, the cable's a given, but like all these a la carte services. So I had people hitting me up the last day or so, like, what do you think of the new South Park special? What do you think? I was like, I don't remember seeing ads for this on Comedy Central. And then comes to find out,
it's on Paramount Plus.
It's on Paramount Plus. And over my dead body, am I paying for yet another one of these services? So,
well, I would recommend Paramount Plus because my brother writes for SEAL Team, which you can only find on Paramount Plus.
Nice plug. Yeah, I just like enough with these. And just another one, too. These places, like the fast food joints now charging you for sauces. Like, just, There's one particular place. Like, I like their fried clams. Their roast beef a little bit overrated. I think you know who I'm talking about. But, like, I want an extra tartar sauce. Oh, that's like 55 cents. Huh? No, throw in the extra tartar sauce. I want, like, four of them. It's like $2 now?
You really know the parking thing, though. Like, I will circle for an hour rather than park in a garage. Let's
just bite the bullet and park. You're going to be late for dinner. How many times? Where are the Gaspers? I bet Chris is looking for parking. Yes, he was. Chris, what movie did you never get tired of watching? Is there a Shawshank for you?
I never get tired of watching. There's actually a couple, but I would say Crimson Tide I'll watch all the time. Top Gun. Anytime Top Gun's on, I'll come in. Oh, also another one I'll add, Days of Thunder. Days of Thunder, Top Gun, Crimson Tide. I can come in like halfway through, quarter of the way through, three quarters of the way through. I'm watching it to the end.
Finally, high school reunions. Big time for high school reunions in and around the region and all over the country, what with Thanksgiving time. High school reunions, Chris, yes or no?
Yes. I mean, I would go. I don't know if I'm going to have one coming up here. It would be a pretty big one, but... Yeah, sure. It's, you know, why not catch up, you know? I think it depends.
You want to put yourself in the firing line of Mac Jones questions and what's this one really like? What's that one really like?
That happens at weddings, dinners. I mean, that already happens. That's unavoidable. No, I mean, it'd be nice to catch up with some old classmates and see if that's... I mean, I guess it depends on where I'm at in my life, too, right? I mean, if I'm down in the dumps, then probably not. But, you know, the kid's doing okay.
Never been to one. Never
would. Really?
Yeah. If I'm friends with you still, like, it's for a reason. If I no longer talk to you, we were friends then, like, it's for a reason. So
that's shocking to me, because I feel like you'd be the ultimate, like, oh, I want to rub it in this teacher's face. I want to rub it in this girl's face. I feel like you would be the ultimate go back and like, ha-ha, look at me now, Big Jim Murray.
Over my dead body.
Really?
You would never find me at one of those. Ever, ever,
really?
Ever.
Really? I'm surprised by that.
Oh, God, I can't imagine a bigger hell. Ugh. All right. Well,
you'd roll up in your nice little car.
Oh God, no! Ugh. You know, this is why. I pat myself on the back again. 10 years. 10 years this month. It's been since I got off Facebook. That's how ahead of the curve the kid was. You want to friend me? I don't even like. No. Get out of here. Delete. Over. Done with. Goodbye. 10 years. 10 years this month. Who else do you know that got off Facebook that long ago?
I don't know anybody who got off Facebook that early.
Want to thank Jeff Williams for producing the show today. Chris, a pleasure. Good seeing you, pal.
Nice.
Congrats on being back at the Globe.
Thank you.
Catch you tomorrow morning with Beetle on the pregame starting 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
And I'll be on the postgame with Joe Murray after the Patriots beat up on the Titans 35-7. Book it. Talk to you then. Otherwise, Monday with Felger and Mass. Goodbye.
Chris Gasper, Big Jim Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.